Hello, I'm Simon Huebner. This is Inside Asperger's, the show that describes conflicts and struggles yet realizes others have their own. In this episode, I will have two personal stories that sandwich a more important point. I want y'all to know that the wisest statement I've ever heard about any sort of autism happened on a dating app. It was not from a scientist who does research, nor was it from a self-advocate. It was from someone who told me about her older brother. Now, when people bring up autism, I'm impatient and not proud of it. You gotta get to the point. If someone can define something in one or two sentences, this is how I know someone knows what they're talking about. And someone's younger sister just happened to catch on quickly. Quote, everything's always black and white with him. End quote. She also said, he makes his mind up and no one can get him to compromise. End quote. This woman described the absolutist way of thinking better than anyone else I had encountered up to this point. Every other trait is riffraff. And I'd go so far as to say, it would be easier to call myself an absolutist than autistic. Admit it. That puts a clearer picture into my head and into your head than a misguided emphasis on social skills. The way this has always been framed is that the outside world just knows what they're supposed to do and can read other people's minds, and I just don't believe everyone else is a psychic like that. It's more common than I would have expected. So now that we can concisely name the most important trait in autism, why is it so hard to identify it in minorities and women? A Google search of the subject led me to several important articles on the subject from stats and personal accounts, especially with police interactions where stress levels skyrocket. Police accounts, according to journalist and author Eric Garcia, a Latin man, writes that he feels, quote, less secure than white people with autism and less secure than my friends of color who are neurotypical, end quote. He wrote this after a story that occurred in 2017 in North Miami, when Charles Kinsey, an unarmed black man and behavioral therapist, tried to make sure police did not shoot an autistic, non-speaking Latino man who he was in charge of watching while he sat in a street holding a truck. The truck was misconstrued to be a gun. According to the article, the Miami Police Benevolent Association said, quote, the officer had meant to shoot the autistic man whom he thought was somehow endangering Kinsey and hit Kinsey by mistake, end quote. I don't know whether that is true or if someone wants to cover his own tuchus. All I do know is I really don't want to one-up any black person, especially when it comes to talking about police stories. This might be a show about a social problem, yet I've learned in the last millennium to keep my mouth shut and others talk. Eric Garcia's article goes on to profile Ron Hampton, who is a former president of the DC Autism Society, has been a police officer for 24 years, and the father of an autistic son. Ron Hampton said, quote, when our children have episodes, we call each other not police. I wanted to share that with you before telling you this quote is from a retired black policeman. Wherever your mind goes, when I put a picture in your head are your own biases. Truly, we are everywhere throughout every culture. Between the time I wrote this and recorded this, it made the news that a white kid out in Utah, an Asperger's boy, had also been shot by the police. Again, not about to one-up anybody, but it's there. Ever since I set the first Google News alerts for autism and Asperger's, which give different results when the algorithm picked up specific words, the common theme comes up of women and minorities discovering they are part of the autism club who went overlooked for various reasons. Morenike Giwa Onaiwu of the Autism Women's and Non-Binary Network is quoted in an article titled Black Female and Autistic Hidden in Plain Sight as saying, quote, I believe that my experiences as an autistic person has definitely been shaped by my gender and race. Many characteristics that I possess that are clearly autistic. Side note, it's not clear which characteristics. Again, we struggle at getting to the point. We're instead attributed to my race and gender. As a result, not only was I deprived of supports that would have been helpful, I was misunderstood and also at times mistreated. End quote. Yikes. Katina Burkett, a black social worker in South Carolina, similarly writes, quote, after getting my official autism diagnosis at age 46, I turned to the research literature. I found excellent articles that support or validate my feelings and experiences, but I could find no research on autistic black people, end quote. All this after she wrote about the inability to code switch, which means changing the voice tone of one's voice, mannerisms to fit in with people, and a dip end, which is a large part of fitting in down south. And I'm disappointed to have discovered accounts and others like them. Other phrases I've seen include, quote, many professionals would say, she can't have Asperger's because I'm empathetic, end quote. A statement that would make me want to jump down the person's throat who says that, but even I know that would reinforce the worst stereotype about me. What do people think I have? A social problem. Clearly I have to be twice as kind to receive a fraction of the credit so-called neurotypicals would get after they project unfeeling on me. More disappointing quotes include, quote, it was a white people's thing, it was a guy's thing. Someone else said I'd never heard of a black autistic person. Someone else said a female acquaintance would get really mad at me about not being sentimental. This was also spoken by another woman. And lastly, my favorite. I don't go to autistic social meetups because they're dominated by cishet white men who nonstop hit on me, even if after I explicitly state that I'm not available in a relationship and queer, end quote. This sounds like two people's absolutes about touching and affection are in conflict. And I'll have more to say about what we think we know about giving others affection and attention really is a lot of nonsense and bad ideas. Know this. The most kindred spirits I've met were either doing comedy or I was not looking for them. And also, I'll have to address affection and what not to do. More importantly, it's disappointing to hear and read this and things like, quote, a recent study from Georgia State University, your host's alma mater, found that African-American parents reported, quote, fewer concerns about behaviors like delayed speech and repetitive behaviors, even though their children showed a greater severity with these symptoms overall. But of course, it isn't all up to parents. Let me see if I understand this. When someone looks like me, a pale Jewish man, and is seen by everyone to be an oddball, you can't call it autism fast enough. When someone's neither pale nor male, other answers are given before someone gets an autism answer. And yet, while I present a certain way just like everyone else, I do feel Jewish more than anything else. Barely anyone would ever realize that we are also everywhere around the world in different cultures and that there's no one look to us no matter what you might see in the media. And I have yet to see anyone else reflect on upon how the learning strategies involved in a bar mitzvah are the same ones that I was shown when I saw a therapist to figure out reading comprehension and directions because I was lost at that in fourth grade. In both areas, I and many others have a nose for getting wrapped up in little details. I can only remember the words if I point at them directly, and both situations require a book report or an explanation to show you know what you're talking about. What I wonder about is why did I literally luck into finding a sanctuary when I was little, and why did countless others struggle to do the same? And also the chat with the woman who nailed it with the simplest autism explanation I've ever encountered happened on the Jewish swiping app. Now it would be foolish to say Judaism covered up autism. For every explanation by Professor Simon Baron Cohen that claims autism is an extreme male brain theory, which is confusing and leads to more misinformation for everybody who does not fit a stereotype, there is commentary from Rabbi Ruti Wiegand, who specializes in inclusivity and is an autistic person. She has written, quote, who sits around all day, rocking back and forth, focusing on minutiae and not making eye contact, end quote. She effectively said that autism lends itself to the culture of a Jewish house of learning. I'm not saying every scientist with a Jewish-sounding name who researches autism should go and pay attention in synagogue, but it wouldn't hurt. I would like to hear about what you think makes a supportive, positive culture. You can probably tell I did not resent my religious upbringing at all, and I'd like to hear yours. I was fortunate enough to grow up somewhere with so much support. I can name several times when I felt at odds with what was happening around me. One story that has stuck out happened a millennium ago. Once upon a time, a little seventh grader is sitting still during a social studies class discussion in the aftermath of Columbine, the first school shooting that made the national news. My well-intentioned teacher regurgitated the news, which I can now prove to be inaccurate, when she said, the shooters always seemed like something was bothering them. They wanted to be left alone, and they were always withdrawn. I can still remember an entire diverse class looking right at me. I wish I could say I'm over being blindsided over 20 years ago, from the moment I recorded this episode. Now, school can feel like a state of constant conflict, but I never felt I was set against everyone else until that happened. And I mean everyone else. Many years later, I've tried to joke about it, and other ways of having poor body language. A joke I wrote 5 years ago, as a pretty new comic went, God help anyone with the same poor body language who's darker than me, because everyone else is going to accuse every last one of them of everything. It got a laugh, but it felt like the type of laugh that reinforced what people thought they know, instead of hoping everybody can do better, which is not the kind of laugh I want to chase after when I face people. I'll have more to say when I talk about what can go well in comedy and the culture you would want to place yourself in future episodes. Until then, I'm interested in hearing about your sanctuaries and safe havens. Feel free to tell me what they are. at Inside Asperger's on Facebook and Instagram, at Simon Says Funny on Twitter, or at InsideAspergers@protonmail.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll try to have another episode weekly.